Last week, I spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. And we didn't spend time to go into all the fruit of the Spirit and their manifestation, but we spoke about them in general. Today, we'll look at how we get to produce the fruit of the Spirit. So I will do a two-part message that I have titled, Abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. It is in abiding in Christ that we bear the fruit of the Spirit. My opening text would be John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. This is the last of these seven statements Jesus made about himself when he describe himself as the I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light, and so on. This is the last where he says, I am the vine. I am the vine. And in this teaching, Jesus is using an analogy, something to compare with, to teach about his relationship with us. And the analogy he uses is that of the vineyard. I know that in Ghana we don't grow vineyards here, but we can imagine another tree in place of a vineyard or a vine. And Jesus talks about the vine dresser, whom he says is his Father, and then he talks about the vine, the true vine, which he says is himself, and then he talks about the branches, which he says are the disciples, and then he talks about the fruit, which is what we produce. Now, normally when we are looking at the scripture, it's important to know that when there is an analogy like this in the Bible, you don't overstretch its meaning, because every analogy is teaching something very, very specific. There is a main truth, but you don't try to use every part to become a message. Now, in the 8 verses I read today, the word fruit is used 6 times in the passage. 6 times. And the word abide is used 7 times. So you can see that fruiting and abiding are very, very predominant in what Jesus is teaching today. So I would want to just define the word abide, and then we take it from there. So what does it mean to abide? When Jesus says, abide in me, it's not a word we frequently use in our normal conversation. You don't tell your friend, abide with me. But it's an English expression. So what does it mean? It means first to remain in place, to remain in place, to stay without departing. So our Christian life is not an in and out experience. It's not an off and on experience. When we make a commitment to the Lord, we stay with him. So when Jesus says, abide in me, he's saying, stay or remain in me without departing. Once you choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you must abide in Him. You must remain in Him. You don't come in one day and next time you are out there in the world doing something totally different from your faith in Christ. So abide means to remain in place. Secondly, abide means to continue in place, to continue, to endure, to progress, to grow. So when he says abide in me, it's not just staying, but also growing, maturing, becoming better. We remain in him and we continue in him. We remain in him and we grow in him. We stay in him and we mature in him. So that is what it means to abide. To bear Christian fruit, therefore, we must abide in Christ. And we only bear fruit when we are abiding in Christ. When we stay in him and when we grow in him. When we continue in him. Because we cannot just hope to be fruitful by getting things. Our fruitfulness must begin by being more Christ-like and bearing fruit for Christ. We bear Christian fruit when we abide in Christ. Now, if you look at verses 4 and 5 of the passage, in verse 4 he says, "Abide in me and I in you." Abide in me and I in you. In verse 5 he says, "He who abides in me and I in him." So it's a two-way thing. It's not just abiding in Christ, but he also abides in us. When we are in him, he is in us. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, therefore, is a two-way relationship. We live in him and he lives in us. In John chapter 14, that's the chapter just before 15, verse 20, Jesus says that, "And that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." So Jesus established the relationship he wants to have with us. He wants us to be in him, and he wants to be in us. Of course, if you have a branch of a tree, whether it's a vine tree in this instance, but since most of us are more comfortable with a mango tree, or maybe an orange tree, the branch of the mango tree is in the tree. But that is not all there is. The tree is also in the branch. So there is a relationship that is continuous between the tree and its branches. The tree flows into the branch, and the branch is flowing into the tree. And that's how Jesus wants us to relate to him. I in them and they in me. We are in him and he is in us. So these are two important thoughts. The first one is Christ in me. Christ is in me. When we say Christ is in us, it means that he shares in our life. He is present in our lives. He's present with us here on earth. Although Jesus is not physically present with us, because of our union with him, he's present in our lives. In our earthly walk, we are never alone. We are never Christless. He lives in us, he moves in us, and we have our being in him. He's not a bystander in our lives. When we go through the fire, he is in us. When we go through the storm, he is in us. When people fight us, he is in us. He never departs from us. Christ is in us. He's present with us here on earth. And not only is he in us, we are also in Christ. I am in Christ. That means I share in his life. He shares in my life. I share in his life. And when we share in his life, his strength becomes our strength. His ability becomes our ability. His wisdom becomes our wisdom. Whatever he can do, he empowers us to do. So we are in him, but not only that, he is also in us. And because we are in Christ, he is present in our lives, and we are present with him in heaven. We share in his heavenly life. Christ is in us, and we are in him. That is a truth you must always remember as a Christian. Christ is in me, and I am in him. He lives in me, I live in him. He is the vine, I am the branch. It's not a branch that is outside of him, it's a branch that is in him. So how do we get to abide in Christ? How do we get to abide in Christ? And I'm going to give you four ways in which we abide in Christ. Four ways. We abide in Christ first by accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the first step to abiding in Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. This is where everything starts, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And by now you should know that accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is more than going to church. It is more than being a good person. It is a conscious, personal decision every human being must make at one point in their life to accept that what Jesus did on the cross was for them. His death was for them. His resurrection was for them. In his death, we have forgiveness of sins. In his resurrection, we have new life. And when we accept that, we have accepted Jesus Christ then as our Lord and personal Savior. And when we accept Christ, he comes to live in us. To abide in Christ, we must accept him as our Lord and personal Savior. It's good to go to church. It's good to be a nice person. But that is not accepting Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You have to accept that his death forgave you of your sins and his resurrection gave you new life. And when you accept those two things, you have him as your Lord and your Savior. So we abide in Christ by accepting him as our Lord and Savior. Number two, we abide in Christ by allowing his teachings to settle in us. His teachings to settle in us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. Accepting Christ as Lord and Savior is the first step. But the teachings of Christ must abide in us. And the teachings of Christ, you find them in the Gospels as well as in the epistles that the apostles of Christ wrote. Mostly what we call the New Testament. His teachings must settle in us. His teachings must abide in us. So, he comes to live in our lives. His teachings come into our lives when we read it and we allow it to settle. And the reason I say the word of God must settle is, it's one thing reading the word of God, another thing letting it settle in you. That means it must settle all your arguments. When you are determining what to do, the basis for determining what to do should be what Christ taught. So no matter how angry you are against somebody, and how much you want the person out of your life and dead, if Christ says you must forgive him, that word must settle. You cannot let your emotions settle your issues. If we're going to bear fruit for Christ, then his word settles our issues. Whether it is in the way we run our lives, the way we run our families, the way we run our businesses, the word of Christ settles all arguments for us. Until we come to that point in our faith, we cannot bear fruit for him. If you can say, well, Jesus says it, but I don't feel like it. Jesus says it, but I don't think that is what I want to do. As for this, I will think about it. When Christ speaks, we don't think about it. We do it. So we must accept him as Lord and Savior. His word must settle in our hearts. And number three, we abide in Christ by doing what he commanded us to do. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. If we keep his commandments, then he abides in us, and we abide in him. And I know that keeping the commandments of Jesus are very difficult. It's the most difficult thing in this world is following Jesus. That's very difficult. Because everything Jesus says goes opposite the way we want to live our lives. Our lives are based on selfishness. His life is based on selflessness. Our lives are based on taking. His life is based on giving. Our lives are based on vengeance. His life is based on forgiveness. Our lives are based on doing what pleases us. His life is based on not my will, but your will be done. So when we try to follow Jesus, it goes against everything about us. That is why it's very easy for us to say we are Christians, but never live anywhere near Christ. But if he's going to abide in us, then we must keep his commandments. And doing his commandment is difficult. The only way we can do the will of Christ is to see him as our master and we as his slaves. The early apostles understood that. That's why when you read the epistles, Paul will call himself a bond servant. Peter would say, I'm a servant of Christ. Even James, who was a physical brother of Jesus, called himself a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did they describe themselves as bond servants, as slaves? Because until you take that posture, the word of Christ cannot be obeyed by you. So the question is, are you a slave of Christ? Yes, we must be as Christians. Because that is the only way we can obey him without questing. So when he says, forgive, and everything in you wants to slap the person back, you cry, Lord, I don't want to forgive, but I forgive. That is a slave, a bond servant. Everything in me doesn't want to do it, but at your word. Until Christ's word is our command, and we see ourselves simply as his slaves to do what he says, we cannot abide in him and we will not bear fruit. So we abide in him by doing what he commands us to do. And number four, we abide in him by living and walking in God's love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Jesus clearly taught that walking in love was the mark of Christendom. These days, you think that Other things are the mark of Christianity. Of course, people sometimes think that the power is the mark of Christianity. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, by this they shall know that we are my disciples because of love. The life of the believer must be characterized by love at all levels. Life in church, in our marriages, in our businesses, everything, we must walk in love. We must love the Lord with all that we have. We must love other believers as brothers and sisters. And we must love people with the love of God. Not long ago, Christians used to call each other brothers and sisters. These days, you don't hear much of that. We used to call each other brother so-and-so, brother, sister so-and-so, because there was supposed to be love. We seem to have moved away from that ethic. So the question is, if you are married, is the love of Christ in your marriage? You know, people teach all kinds of things about marriage, sexual compatibility, mental compatibility, and all of that, but never the love of God. It's not just about compatibility. It's about the love of God. If you have the love of God, there is no way your marriage will not work. There is no way the love of God can be present in a marriage and conflict present at the same time. The two don't work together. No matter all the compatibilities you learn, if you don't learn to walk in love, the love of God, nothing works for us. How can people know that we are disciples of Jesus? Because we have love one for another. We don't cheat one another. We don't defraud one another. We don't crook one another. The church must be a house of love. Not each for himself and God for us all. And that is how we bear fruit. That's it. If you want to be fruitful, walk in love. Obey the commandments of Jesus. Let his word dwell in you and let Christ be the Lord of your life. That's the only way we bear fruit. And let me close with John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus says something very interesting there. John 15, verse 16. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Two things I want to highlight. One is that Christ chose us and appointed us to be fruitful. That's the reason why he chose us. That's the reason why we got born again, to be fruitful. We are appointed to be fruitful. Fruitfulness is based on fully trusting the Lord to work out his purposes in our lives. But then Jesus says something very, very radical. Jesus says that the Father answers the prayers of those who are fruitful. Listen to him again. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That means so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Jesus linked answers to prayer to fruitfulness. I had never seen it that way. It just shocked me. And this verse is very pivotal. Because every promise Jesus gave for answered prayer, we read everywhere else in the New Testament, it's conditional on this. So if you read, for example, in Matthew 7, verse 8, that says, "For everyone who has received, and he who finds, and to him, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open." Who is the everyone? Who is the everyone who asks and receives? Does it mean any person at all can go and say, "Father, do this for me," and it will happen? Is that how God answers prayer? This everyone must be read in the light of John 15:16. Whoever bears fruit, whatever he asks the Father, will be given. In other words, everyone who asks and receives is everyone who bears fruit. The fruitless Christian will not only be fruitless in their relationship with God, but their prayer life will also be fruitless. When Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Does it mean a Christian can live anyhow, walk anyhow, behave anyhow, hate people, be destructive, and then come and say, according to Mark 11, 24, "Whatever I ask, I shall receive"? No, this verse must be translated or interpreted in the light of John 15:16. Whoever bears fruit, whatever he asks the Father, it shall be given to him. The reason why we quote all these prayer answering verses and we don't have answers is because we are fruitless. The scripture is not a mechanical tool. The principles of God are not mechanical. You can't just live anyhow and pray to God and expect him to hear you. When Jesus says in John 16:23-24, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive, that your joy may be full." It must be seen in the light of John 15:16. Whoever bears fruit. So every whoever that Jesus is promising this prayer answer to is not just whoever. But the believer who abides in him, who is bearing fruit, is the one Jesus is promising. That if you bear fruit, if your life reflects me, then whatever you ask the Father, he will do it for you. So, why is that so? Because praying in the name of Jesus is not simply saying the name of Jesus. It's not just adding the name of Jesus to your prayer. "Father, I want to travel. I want to go to America. I want to go to Hong Kong. I want to go to Paris. I want you to promote me. I want you to make me the managing director of my company. I want you to give me $1 billion in Jesus' name." And just because you add "in Jesus' name," God is obliged to do your wishes for you. Is that how prayer works? No. When we are abiding in Christ and we are praying in the name of Jesus, it implies that we have become so aligned with Christ, with his nature, with his spirit, so that every request we make is in conformity with his will. And when we are so much in touch with him that every request we make is in conformity with his will, then whatever we ask, he will do it for us. But you can't live anyhow and use the name of Jesus. You can't just think that if you can bamboozle your way with God, walk up and down enough and talk in enough tongues and cry in enough tongues and stamp your feet enough, God will be so intimidated, he will answer your prayer. No, the only way he answers your prayer is because you are in the vine, and the husbandman, the vine dresser, the Father has pruned you. And after he has pruned you, you bear much fruit. But anyway, that's what I'm preaching tomorrow, next week. And because of that, he gives you the permission. Ask whatever you want, and I will do it. And why does he give you that permission? Because when you are so in him, your whatever you ask for is not selfish, is not self-centered, is not vanity. Whatever you wish for is what Christ wishes for. And because of that, your prayer in his name is guaranteed 100% answer. Do you want to have more of your prayer answer? Abide in Christ. Instead of learning how to pray on a mountain, or receive an impartation, or receive a mantle, or use olive oil and pour oil on yourself, abide in Christ. Don't get oil on yourself. Don't get zome on yourself. And don't abide in Christ. If you abide in Him, He says, you will bear fruit. And because you bear fruit, whenever you ask the Father for anything, He will give it to you. Do you wonder why you pray 100 and 99 are not answered? Have you ever wondered? You pray, 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 pray. They don't get answered. Pray, 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 pray. Get up in the morning. Get up at dawn. Pray. Nothing happens. You are not abiding. You are not bearing fruit. You are trying to arm twist God. You are trying to hijack Him. And some people want to give God threats. If you don't do this, Lord, then I'll not worship you again. You are no longer Jehovah. And so, it's as if the moment you say that, God will say, hey, if I don't answer this guy, then I'll no longer be God. He was God before you were born. Before your father was born. Before your mother was born. Before your grandfather was born. Before your great-great-grandfather was born. He will be God after you die. He'll be God in the days of your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. He'll be God. You think you can threaten God to answer your prayer? Where did you get that idea? Our prayers are answered because we abide in Him and we bear fruit in Him. And may the Lord help each one of us to be abiding Christians who are fruit-bearing Christians, then we will see the Father answering our prayers so that His name will be glorified, not so that we will go and brag to other people, but that His name will be glorified. Let's bow down our heads. The way to abide in Christ is to ask Him into your heart. And if Christ is not in your heart, you have to just pray and ask Him to come in. And so I just want to lead you in a very simple prayer to invite Jesus Christ into your heart to become your Lord and Savior. Wherever you are listening, online, wherever, just put your hand upon your heart and pray this simple prayer with me and say, Heavenly Father, today I come to you just as I am. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I thank you, Father, that Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. He took away my sin. I believe in Him and I accept His forgiveness. I thank you, Father, that Jesus rose again from the dead and He is alive forevermore to give me new life. I believe in Him and I accept that. And so I proclaim today that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I commit to live all my life to serve Him, to please Him, and to honor Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you really meant that prayer in your heart, you are now abiding in Christ. You've started the process. Let His word stay in you. Obey Him. Bear fruit for Him. Then your prayer will be answered because you bear much fruit.